Let me invite you to stand with us as we get ready to worship God this morning. could ever separate me from that love. No mistake I make, no matter how far I go, He's always there. He's never gonna stop loving me. He's always gonna love me. And I'm so grateful that I can go to Him. I can go to my Father, and I have that kind of love that never leaves or forsakes. And if you're excited about that this morning, if you're thankful for that this morning, then give Him a shout of praise. Come on, church. If you're excited about serving a God who loves you beyond your own messed up mistakes and junk, He loves you. Come on, you got to get excited this morning. Come on, we got to give praise this morning. We got to lift up the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus in this place. Come on, somebody get excited and say hallelujah. If you're thankful for salvation, come on. I want you to put your hands together like this. Come on.
Surrender, take me, and this is all I can bring.
One, two, three.
You never stop loving us, no matter how far we run. You never give up on us. Chains fall off. Our God is freedom, and He will fill your heart. Your heart beat for us. Take me. This is all I can bring.
Come on,
you'll never stop loving us. No matter how far we run, you'll never give up on us. I'm
Now raise it. in this chorus. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
Just remember those words. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles.
Oh, come on, this is how I fight my battles. Yes, it is.
This is how I fight my battles.
Hey, this is how I fight my battles. Come on, sing it. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Come on, this is how I fight my battles. Thank you, Jesus. Sing, this is how I fight my battles. It's real soft. Come on. We worship you. This is how I fight my battles. Yes. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Your house is in foreclosure. This is how we fight. Your car is getting taken. This is how we fight. Your aunt's sick. Your uncle's sick. Your brother's paralyzed. This is how I fight my battles. It's not through anything else but him. Once you're in this room and once you say, Jesus, I give you my life, he's in control. And we just have to take hold of his promises and say, this is how we fight our battles. We come boldly before his throne of grace. And we say, Jesus, I bring you this. I need grace to deal with this situation. And I need to know and have faith that you're going to take care of it. Because faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Sing, this is how I fight. And this is how I fight my battles. Come on. How I fight my battles. Woo! This is how I fight my battles. There's no one like you, Jesus. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how. Hey! This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. A shout of praise!
Thank you.
Everybody in this building, under the sound of my voice, right now I encourage you, lift up those hands of surrender, come to Him this morning in worship and adoration. Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your unchanging love. We thank you for the sacrifice you made on that cross. God, we thank you, we glorify you that we can call you by name and you would hear that the veil is torn. So thankful this morning, raise it up and raise up that hallelujah. Shout out of praise. Give Him glory. Come on. Just as we are. We don't have to fix anything about us because in your presence we'll find transformation. We'll be changed. Father, we thank you that we can just go before you, Lord, just as we are. And so if you're happy about that, if you're thankful for that grace, that mercy, that love, somebody give Him a shout. Come on.
To be thankful for, amen. Yeah. A family right now at this time in the time to praise God for things that he's done. And we'd love for you to just share with us if God does something in your life that you just want to give him glory for. And then we're going to go on to prayer requests. And we really believe in the power of God to change circumstances and situations. Amen. Anybody believe in the power of prayer here today? And actually, a couple of the praise reports I have today are linked with a prayer request. So the first one is from Monique. And she said, I have a new job making a lot. L-O-T with capitals, right? More money. Thank God for that, right? Double face pay plus commissions. So she's so thankful for that. Is that awesome? It's got a little sad side to it because this is Monique's last Sunday for now. And she's going to be moving to North Carolina. And her prayer request is to pray over her travel and the provision. But God's opened doors for her. And she's like a part of our family. And we love her. And I'll have to have you phone me and just sing to me sometimes. Right, we'll have to just put her on the screen, let her sing to us. But we're glad for what the Lord's doing in your life, and we're going to pray over you too. And then another praise report is linked to a prayer request. Angela Penn, who designed our mobile app, her uncle, the prayer request is that he had cancer before, and the cancer has returned, and he's got to start chemo immediately. So we're going to pray over him and believe God. He asked, please ask your church to pray for me. But the praise report, she said that in the chemo area, he has to be there for about 3 hours, and he can't use the Wi-Fi. So he's gone onto the app, downloaded it on his phone, downloaded the messages, and he said, all the time that I'm in chemo, I'm gonna listen to the word of God. So that was a praise report. She said she didn't know he was gonna do that. Another prayer request and praise report. Someone came to me today and said, today I'm 50 days sober. Thank God for that, right? But then the prayer request is, today's a difficult day. Today I'm struggling a bit and I want prayer. We turn to the Lord whatever situation we're in, amen? So we're going to pray over that today. And let's see, someone's been for a first interview, which went really well. The second one is this Monday, and we're going to believe God with her today. And then somebody wants us to pray for her daughter who's having a real hard time in her life. And we're going to pray right now. So I want you to join my faith, your faith with mine. We're going to pray over these prayer requests. And then as we sing one last song, our prayer team's going to come up. And if you want to come out and get prayed for, they are anointed, they are full of faith, and they will pray over you, and God will do miracles in your life. Amen. So we're first going to just stretch your hands out, and we're going to believe God. Father, we pray over this uncle with cancer. We pray over this gentleman who's struggling to stay sober. We pray over Monique's travel and her provision. Father, we pray over over the young girl who's having struggles in her life. Father, right now, we ask you to stretch out your mighty hand. We pray for the anointing of God to flow into these people's lives. We pray, Father, that they'll never be the same, that they will walk supernaturally empowered into everything you have for them. Devil, we take authority over you, where you would bring sickness or addiction or disease. We take authority over you in the name of Jesus. We break that over your life right now. We thank you, Father, for miracles that take place. If you're watching online, we stretch out to you right now, whatever it is you need. God is meeting your need right there. Just link your faith with ours, and we believe God over your situation right now. It's turning around in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to hear praise testimonies come out of that, right? And right now, our prayer team's coming up as we sing this last song. I want you right where you are to worship with us. But if you need prayer, don't hesitate. Even if it's your first time, just step out. And as we sing, we're going to pray over those who need prayer. Thanks.
just assume that everybody in this place understands what that looks like or how to do that. And that's okay, because God meets you right where you are. But I can tell you a good place to start is with your own voice. A good place to start is just raising the song, lifting the song from your own heart, intentionally singing the words to the Lord. And he hears you. It's a fragrant offering to him. So let's start there. Let's all sing together. Raise our voice in one accord.
Out in the streets and didn't care what people thought, because he just wanted to give you praise, and we glorify you in this place, Lord, with everything we have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful time of worship. Amen. You guys, you're amazing. I love it. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, family, this is the time we're going to just have a mingle minute. Just turn and find somebody you haven't chatted to today and talk to them. 1 minute. Welcome to church today. We're so glad that you're here. We welcome those who are watching online, watching on our mobile app, watching on Facebook. We're glad you've joined us today. Wait till the smoke clears. Praise God. Well, for those of you who are visiting, I'm Jill Barry. I'm the pastor's wife. And if I talk a little jittery, I'm operating on a whole lot of Jesus and quite a lot of caffeine because last night I got a phone call from our son and daughter-in-law in Miami and said, hey, we're on the way to the hospital to have baby. And so I was like, I'm out of here. And Pastor Steve's like, it's church tomorrow morning. I said, I think I'll make it back in time. And so we went down and spent the evening with them. It was phenomenal. So this morning at 4:15, baby Olivia was born. I think we got a picture. Is Luke. So Olivia Francesca Barry. That was her, minutes old. And that was like 10 minutes old. I got her at about 10 minutes old. There she is. Isn't she beautiful? And I don't take it for granted to have a healthy, perfect baby. I give God all the glory. We're just so thankful, so thankful. So that's we had one granddaughter who's turning 10 in a few days. By the way, this is 5 April birthdays. Thanks a lot, everybody. And one granddaughter, and then we had a run of 5 grandsons. So really happy to have a little female in the family, but we're really thrilled. Amen. But we want to welcome you to church today. So glad that you're here, each and every one of you. We appreciate you. We love the family that God's put together here. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We hope you feel welcome. We hope you feel what we feel when we see you. And we are in a few moments, our ushers are going to hand you a visitor pack, which we'd like to give to you. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can just hand you a gift pack right where you're sitting? God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Keep it up until the ushers see you. Thank you so much. Okay, what happened on this side? All those people have visitors with them. Come on. Next week? No, Tom, we've seen you before. We know you're not a visitor. So in that gift pack is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, which we put in there hoping it'll be an encouragement to you. And there's a card that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill that out at the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. Just drop that in, and Pastor would love to give you a call, find out how you enjoy the service, right? And at our church every week, the four main things we want to accomplish, first of all, we want to help you know God. And you say, well, I do know God. Well, maybe we want to help you know God better and deeper. Amen. Second of all, we want to help you find freedom in any area of your life, every area. Thirdly, we want to help you discover your purpose. Each one of us has a purpose. And often people are searching for that in all the wrong places. But we need to find that right in the house of God. And lastly, we want to help you make a difference with your life. Amen. And that's every week. And I just one scripture that I read that stood out to me. I'm reading the book of Romans at the moment from the Passion Translation, which I'm enjoying. But I love this. It says, whatever was written beforehand, that's written in the Word, was meant to instruct us in how to live. The Scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. Isn't that amazing? So that today, when you hear the Word of God taught, it's to encourage you and inspire you and help you live in hope and to endure hard times. Amen? That's what we can expect. So thank you, Pastor Steve. I know he's raring to go, even though...
Even though what?
Even though I don't see it on your face yet.
Oh, I'm ready. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. Thank you. Tell your neighbor, it's great to see you here. Let me tell you, it was already worth coming to church just for that. I want to say thank you to the musicians and our singers and our media team. I'll tell you why. Because they were here on Thursday night rehearsing, getting ready for today. And then every Sunday morning, they were here at 8 a.m. In fact, the last 3 weeks, I've been coming at 8 a.m. We want to function in our church with absolute excellence in every area. And so I want to say thank you to the singers, musicians, and our media team that got here at 8 o'clock getting ready for service today. Will you give them a big round of applause? Come on. In actual fact, Miguel, are you able to run up here real fast? Are you able to do that? Because I want to say, if there's anyone here, we are looking for, we always need new volunteers and more help in our media department. You know, they get here at 8 a.m. every Sunday. But I want to tell you right now, the Scripture says, he that gives much, receives much, right? So I want to ask you to come and talk to Miguel. If you'd like to become involved and help us on our media team, come talk to Miguel. And it's his birthday today. Happy birthday. It's Chris's birthday as well, isn't it? No. Is it Chris's birthday? Chris Birch, a general contractor. Happy birthday. How many people are excited for Easter? Beside me, is there anyone that is excited for Easter? Well, if you're not, you should be. Because let me tell you, Easter, we celebrate the greatest event in human history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest event that has ever happened. And that's what we celebrate on April 21st, Resurrection Sunday, Easter. Anyone excited about it? Well, I really want to encourage you and stir you up to bring somebody, to invite somebody to our Easter service. It's my prayer that every single one of you will bring someone with you to Easter service. Tell your neighbor, I'm bringing someone to Easter service. In fact, I may bring two people to Easter service. Go ahead and show that video for me. Our Easter service coming up. Turn it up.
Hi, everybody. I'm Gigi Hebensky. I'm excited for Easter at Essen Church. We're celebrating the new life that Jesus came to bring us. Over the next few weeks, we will hear stories from people whose life has changed since they started to come Essen Church. Starting with me. I was born in Turkey, which is a Muslim country. And when I was 21, I moved to England, again as another Christian country, and Egypt, and then Caribbeans. So I have been all over the world until I come to United States and different religions. So I had not so much information about Christianity, honestly. But when I married with my husband, Bill Habensky, I'm sure all of you know, he always attends Essen Church. I started to come with him to church. And the first thing is changed in my life was I had no idea about who is Jesus. I only knew Jesus like in Muslim religion of prophet. And I wasn't be able to accept Jesus as a son of God. But coming to church every Sunday, I started to learn his life. I started to learn his miracles and his personality. I started to love him. So, and also, there's another effect what has changed in my life. When I'm coming every Sunday, listening every sermon, these lessons started to actually like pop up in my mind, maybe during the week, if any situation happens. No, Pastor Steve said, in Bible, we have to act like this, we have to do this, oh, I have to pray, I have to trust God, I have to set it back, I have to give him to handle the things, or miracle is in my mouth, so I have to say it. Make a wish, pray. These are little simple things, but I started to basically implement every lesson I learned in my life. So this has started to change me, change my personality. I started to become a more positive person. And if I even think anything negative for anyone, I thought God is going to punish me and is going to come back to me. So there's another thing is sometimes I'm even super happy mood. I just walk into church and I just start to praise. In 2 minutes, I can stop my tears. I don't know what happens. Sometimes I cannot hold 10 minutes. And it's just my husband even looks, what's going on? But I don't know. I feel God's presence. So what I would like you to do, make a change in your life. Please come to Easter service and bring a friend, family, whoever you want. Why not try to change their life? It was my birthday. I told my friends, do you want to give me a birthday present? Just meet me at the church. That was my birthday gift. And they showed up. That was amazing. So you can do something like that as well. And you can change people's lives. Hope to see you there. Hi, I'm Gigi. I'm with Joanna in front of Essen Church now. I'd like to ask her, since she started to come to this church, what kind of things change in her life?
Well, it started a year ago when I got invited by Moses, and let me tell you, it was the best thing that happened to me. I learned to have a relationship with God, to know him better. Now he guides me wherever I go. It's really changed my life for the positive. Now I'm very blessed. I receive miracles from him all the time, and I'm looking forward to coming to Easter and invite people and make sure they come and experience what I experience, and especially with this lovely family in Essen Church.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to see you at Easter.
Invite someone. Thank you.
Invite someone. Hello, everybody. I'm Gigi Habensky again, and I'm with Bruce in front of Essen Church. And today we will hear from Bruce, since he started to come to Essen Church, how his life changed. Amen. His story is a little bit different. He actually saw an ad on newspaper 4 years ago, which was Pastor Steve's mom was selling Pastor Steve's dad's shoes. And he bought it, so they met with Bruce's wife all together, and they constantly talk about God 5 hours. So Mrs. Marine invited them to church, and as soon as they came, their life is completely changed.
Yes, our life is completely changed. And the joy and the peace that God has given to us and being led here is so real that it's just hard to explain. But it was God, and it was a miracle, and it changed our lives. We have such a wonderful group of friends here. Awesome. I've never had friends that are so dedicated to Debbie and I, and likewise, we're dedicated to them. We're looking forward to Easter Sunday, and we've invited people, and we want everyone to invite someone to the service.
Praise God.
What do you think, Bill? Did a great job. So good. Gigi, I just love that story, don't you? Yeah. Let me tell you, there's so many people you don't always realize how people's lives have been changed by the Lord coming to this church. And that's what I want to see in Easter more than anything else. You know, there's nothing that thrills the Lord more than when one person comes to Jesus. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices. And so I want to encourage you to bring somebody to Easter. Tell your neighbor again, I'm bringing someone Easter for sure. I want to remind you real quick because we've got a lot happening today, so I'm going to move fast. If you can just give me your attention, next Sunday is water baptism. If you have not yet been baptized in water since you accepted Jesus, please make sure in the lobby at the counter there's a little card that says water baptism. Fill your name out next Sunday after the service. We are setting up a water baptism pool. It's actually going to be it's almost like a, what do you call those bubbly baths? It's almost like a jacuzzi. Almost like that. Anyway, we're going to set it up in the parking lot, and we're going to have water baptism next Sunday. Bring your swimsuit, bring a t-shirt, bring a towel, and if you haven't been baptized, don't miss this opportunity. It's such an exciting time to get baptized in water. Amen? And then also, don't forget, tonight is our first revival night at 6 p.m. We are having a revival night. Come and experience the power of God. We're going to worship. I'm going to preach on revival. Let me tell you right now, I believe revival is hitting this city and hitting this church. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe that there's a revival coming to America. I believe the greatest revival the world has ever seen is coming to America and across the world, where the greatest harvest of souls will be brought into the kingdom, where miracles will happen like in the book of Acts. That kind of revival. And so, but you know, revival starts with you. It starts with me. So I hope you'll join us tonight at 6 p.m. for our revival night. Also want to mention, today, I'm very excited, we start our growth track. Growth track step one starts today at 12 o'clock, right after the service. In fact, we're gonna have lunch provided for all those attending at 11:30. As you go out of the lobby, if you turn left, the very last classroom on this building, the last room on this building, there's a big sign outside, says Growth Track. Head to that room at 11:30. Going to give you some lunch. At 12 o'clock, Growth Track starts. Now, today's step one. Growth Track is four steps. Today is step one. It's called Follow. Next week will be step two. It's called Connect. The third week is called Discover Your Purpose. And then the last week will be the fourth Sunday of the month. It's called Join the Team or Serve. If you haven't done Growth Track, I really encourage you to come and do Growth Track. You will discover God's redemptive purpose for your life. You will discover the gifts that God has placed within you and how to get involved in His kingdom and what it means to follow Jesus. And so many things. I really would encourage you. You'll get so much out of Growth Track. If you haven't signed up, you can do so today. You can just arrive there today, say, I didn't sign up, but I want to join Growth Track. It's free of charge. We got childcare as well. 11:30 lunch, 12 o'clock, Growth Track, last classroom. Don't miss it. Growth Track will take you from being a spectator to becoming a participator. Thank you for your enthusiasm, everybody, this morning. Praise the Lord. And the last, one more thing I want to mention. And that is that, how many of you get the text that I send out every week? Raise your hand if you get the text. Every week I send out a weekly text, and it tells what's coming up on the weekend. If you do not get that text, please, if you want to join the weekly text service, you need to text the word ASCEND to the number 313-131. If you text the word ASCEND in capital letters to that number, then you'll automatically be joined to our list, and you will get my weekly texts about what's happening with Revival Night, water baptism, the service every single Sunday. For example, this week, I sent out a text. I said, we're looking for people with testimonies who want to tell you a story how Jesus changed your life, because we want to feature two or three testimonies every week. And I didn't get very much of a response. So I know there's a lot of people, God changed your life. Wave your hand at me if the Lord has touched your life in any way. Wave your hand at me if He's touched your life. Well, listen, we want to hear your story. So please, if you'll text me, let me know. Say, Pastor Steve, I'd like to share my testimony, and we'll arrange it. We're going to be filming this week. We need some new testimonies. Let me know. Will you do that? I said, will you do that? And the last thing that I want to mention to you, and that is that in the month of May, we are launching Connect Groups. We're going to be launching, we're going to be restarting Connect Groups. They'll run May, June, and July. It's our season 2, and I really encourage you to fill out a Connect card in the seat back pocket of the chair in front of you or in the lobby. You'll find the Connect card. Just fill your name, say, I want to join a Connect Group. And I really encourage you to be part of a Connect Group. That's where you make friendships. That's where you get encouraged. That's where you get built up. That's where you learn how to minister and pray for other people. That's where you meet friends that are iron who sharpens iron. Amen? So we're excited about Connect Groups. Are you ready for God's Word this morning? Did anyone bring your Bible with you today? If you got your Bible, wave it around like this. Hold it up. You brought your Bible with you. Hold your Bible up and wave it around. There you go. The sword of the Spirit right there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that as we right now come before you to study and learn your word, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help me, you anoint me, that you bring understanding and revelation to every person's mind. Lord, I thank you for speaking to people today. I thank you for bringing guidance and direction and faith and strength and peace and joy and healing and freedom. Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said and done. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen, this morning I want to speak to you about scared into soaring. Scared into soaring. And in Isaiah chapter 40, in verse number 31, the scripture tells us, those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. Do you know God called you to soar in life? A few weeks ago, my daughter, my oldest daughter, Robin, she lives out in L.A. and with her husband, Brian, and they have 4 children. She called me, and she said that her church, they attend Hillsong L.A., and she said their church had asked her to preach at one of the services, which is a pretty big deal. You know, it's a big church. They run thousands of people. And she was nervous about it. She was even, you may say, a little bit scared. But she said, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go ahead, even though I'm a bit scared, Dad, I'm going to do it. And she did. And it was great. Now they asked her to be part of the preaching team. She's part of the preaching team at Hillsong LA. Yeah, you could clap a little bit better than that. I'm going to teach you guys how to clap and get excited, man. If there's any place you get excited, your whole week it should be on Sunday morning in church. I can say the same is true for myself, in fact, and all my children. When my son was 16 years old, my son Luke, he was cast in his high school musical. They did, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but Les Miserables. Les Miserables. It's a Broadway show. We just call it Les Mis. It's one of my favorite shows. And their school, King's Academy, they got the rights to do the show. And we were blown away. I didn't know Luke could even sing. The moment I saw him up there singing, doing all these, I mean, he was doing some solos. I'm like, guess what, buddy? You're in the band. You're in the band. He was nervous. He was 16 years old. Got him up there in the band. Got him up there playing piano. And he was a little bit scared, to be honest, but he did it anyway. Look where he is today. Luke's now the worship leader at VU Church in Miami. They run 6 services on Sunday. He oversees all the musicians, all the singers. I mean, it's unbelievable. My son Luke, get up on stage. He can play piano. He can play drums. He can play bass. He can play lead. And he can sing and he can write music. The gift of God. But let me tell you, the first time he stepped out, he was scared. His wife, Francesca, as you heard, just had our 7th grandchild was born last night. Olivia Francesca Grace was born. Olivia Francesca Barry. You know where I got Grace from? The name Olivia means grace and charm. That must be what I'm thinking about. But so anyway, Francesca, she was recently asked at their church, VU Church, to speak at VU Church on a Sunday to 1,500 people in a service. And she was asked to speak. And she was nervous about it. You might say she was even scared. But she went ahead and she did it anyway. She did an amazing job. I watched the whole thing. My daughter Courtney, my youngest daughter Courtney, you know, she was working for a social media company. I told her, about 18 months ago, I said, you should start your own company. She didn't think she was ready for that. 6 months later, she was approached by two very successful people in the industry in Hollywood, two people that she knew, both Christians, approached her, said, we want to start a social media company. We want you to be a partner. In fact, we want you to run the company. We're going to give you 35% stake in the company. She was nervous about stepping out, leaving her job, maybe even a bit scared. But she really felt that God wanted her to do this. She felt God was calling her to do this. So she went ahead and she stepped out. 3 months after they launched the company, they were approached by the third largest advertising company in the world. They're in Paris. And they said, we want to buy your company. We want you to be our social media division. The deal is right now in process is millions of dollars. They offered them 8 times their annual turnover to buy their company. Let me tell you, my daughter Nadine over here, she is a pediatric ICU nurse. I'm sure many times you've stepped out and done things, you were a little nervous, probably a little bit scared, right? But you went ahead and did it anyway. I mean, Nadine would faint at the sight of blood, and here she is, a pediatric. You did one time. Sometimes you got to be scared into soaring. When I was 19 years old, my pastor, Pastor Theo Walmerance, asked me to teach at the Bible school at Christian Family Church Johannesburg. And you may find this hard to believe, but by nature, I am shy. I was a shy person. I was nervous. You could definitely say I was scared to get up in front of people. I was 19 years old, but I knew God wanted me to do this. I knew God was calling me to do this. So I stepped out, and I did it anyway, and I discovered a gift that I didn't realize I had. Do you know, at the end of the year, I was the youngest teacher in Bible school. And at the end of the year, Pastor Theo did a survey. He wanted the students to rate the teachers. I came in number 2nd. Pastor Theo, number 1. I came in number 2. I was like amazed. Man, what I'm saying to you is sometimes you don't realize the gifts God has put within you until you step out, even when you're a little nervous, even a little bit scared. If you're going to soar in life, sometimes you've got to be scared into soaring. See, we all like to be comfortable. But if we're comfortable all the time, family, we won't reach our destiny. We won't grow when everything's going our way. We grow when we have to stretch. When we're uncomfortable, when we're a little bit nervous, unsure how it's going to work out. Sometimes God will shake things up. He'll take you out of what is familiar. Sometimes he'll remove a friend that you counted on or put you in a position where you're in over your head. Maybe you lost a client or maybe you don't have the funds. Now it's uncertain. You're a little bit scared. You pray like you never prayed before. You get up early and you do things that you normally wouldn't do. You don't like it. It's not comfortable. But God uses the scary places to move us into our destiny. Don't think that life is always going to be smooth. Let me tell you what God has in store for you. What God has in store for you, sometimes it'll scare you. Dreams bigger than you can accomplish by yourself. Obstacles that you can't overcome by yourself. Let me tell you, when things happen that you don't like, often we tend to blame, we often blame the enemy. But sometimes it's God who's setting us up because we were not made to stay at the same level. Right. We were made to take new ground. Yes. And to do that, you've got to get out of your comfort zone. When you face something that is unfamiliar, it can be intimidating. It can even be scary. You know, you may have defeated some opponents in the past, but when you see Goliath, something much bigger, you think, Lord, he's twice my size. I don't have a chance. I'm scared. Lord, find somebody else. Let me tell you, God wouldn't have allowed it if you didn't have what it takes. God has already equipped you. He's already empowered you. He's already anointed you. You've been armed with strength for every battle. You may feel fear. That's okay. Let me tell you, fear comes to everybody. The key is do it afraid. Do it in spite of how you feel. Do it in spite of what thoughts are telling you. Don't get talked out of your destiny because God is setting you up to go to a new level. We all like to be comfortable. You know, we like to have everything figured out. But the truth is that we are at our best when we're a little bit nervous, a little unsure how it's going to work out, with a little healthy fear, because that's when we learn to depend totally on God. Can you say amen? Amen. If you can do everything in your own strength, you don't need faith. If you don't know where the funds are coming from, or you don't know all the people that are lined up, you don't know everything that everything's in place. Let me tell you, it's good to have everything lined up, but at some point, you're going to have to put a demand on your faith. Amen. You've got to stretch. You've got to dream a bigger dream. You say, well, you know, Pastor Steve, I'm happy. You know, God's blessed me. I'm happy. Why don't you dream bigger so you can help somebody else? So you can help build that orphanage. So you can help buy that friend a car. So you can help set a new standard for your family. So you can help to extend and build the kingdom of God. Dream a bigger dream. We are not put on this earth to just coast through life. If you don't take some risks, if you don't stretch, let me tell you, God loves you so much. He will help you out of your comfort zone. Sometimes we don't have a choice. Sometimes God pushes us out into that scary place. Do you know when a mother eagle has baby eaglets, she makes a nest for them. She makes it very comfortable. She cushions it with grass and with leaves and soft branches. And for the first part of their life, those eaglets are so happy. They are so well taken care of. I mean, if they're hungry, all they're going to do is open their beak. And the mother drops something in their beak, right? Yeah. They don't have to worry about protection. The mother has them high on the side of a cliff, out of reach. She's constantly watching over her babies. But a few months in, the mother starts removing that soft cushion from the nest. She starts removing the grass and the soft leaves. And she makes it uncomfortable. So when the eaglet sits in that little nest, they feel the branches and the sticks poking in them, and they don't like it. They get out and they spend a few hours, you know, hopping around on the rocks. They think they're just playing together, but actually they're developing their muscles. They're getting ready. Because when the mother knows they're strong enough, what does she do? She pushes that little eaglet out the nest, off the cliff, and the eaglet starts falling to the ground. Don't you know if that little eaglet could talk? Can you imagine what it would be saying? What's gotten into mama? The mother who fed me, loved me, protected me, made my life so comfortable. Now she's trying to kill me. What's she doing, mama? Just as that eaglet's about to hit the ground, the mother swoops down, grabs him on her wings, lifts him back up. The eaglet thinks, thank God, mama came to her senses. Mama, take me back to the nest and we'll forget all about this that ever happened. The mother takes the eaglet back, puts it in the nest. Just when the eaglet thinks it's safe, she pushes him out again. This time the eaglet's falling to the ground. He starts flapping his wings. It's not that he's trying to fly. He's just trying to gain his balance. He's not thinking about flying. He doesn't know what his wings are for. He's just trying to break the fall. But when he naturally starts moving his wings, after doing that a few times, what happens? That little eaglet discovers his wings. And he starts flying behind his mother. Before long, that little eaglet is soaring all over the sky. But the nest that the eaglet was in, it was a blessing for a time. It was necessary for a time. But at a certain point, that nest will no longer be a blessing. It will become a hindrance. The eaglet can't develop its wings in the nest. If the mother didn't push it out, it wouldn't survive. Amen. Sometimes the nest that we are in is too small. As much as we like it, it's limiting our growth. When we're comfortable, we like the protection, we like the provision, we like being taken care of. The problem is you'll never develop your wings in the nest. You won't reach your potential without having to stretch, to try new things, to develop new muscles. Maybe like that eaglet, maybe you're thinking to yourself, what is going on in my life, Pastor Steve? It's gotten so much more difficult. A friend walked away from me, or my coworker doesn't want to help me anymore. Listen, God is pushing you out the nest. Do you know what the scripture says? In Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, as an eagle stirs up the nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its wings, so the Lord alone led his people. Notice that it makes a comparison between how an eagle develops It's young, and the way God does. The contemporary Bible says it like this, the contemporary English version. It says the Lord was like an eagle, teaching its young to fly, always ready to swoop down and catch them on its back. And then the easy-to-read version says, life, like an eagle, it says, like an eagle, when she makes her young leave the nest to fly, she stays close to them, ready to help. She spreads her wings to catch them when they fall and carries them to a safe place. The Lord alone led his people the same way. See, sometimes we don't like the stirring, but that's God working in our life. Do you know when the egglets discover their wings is not with them, not when they're in the nest? No, they discover they can fly when they're falling, when they're afraid, when they're scared. In the scary places, you will discover things you never knew you had. You will discover talent you never knew you had. You will discover strength and wisdom, determination you never knew that you had. Amen? Yes. Let me tell you, you would have never known if you would have stayed in the nest. And yes, the scary places are not comfortable. But like the mother eagle, God is right there with you. God is not going to let you hit the ground, family. You might have things coming against you. Maybe you don't understand them. You feel like God is, it feels like God has pushed you out the nest. It's uncomfortable. But if you will stay in faith, I want to tell you, you are about to discover your wings. You do not belong in the nest. Amen. You were created to soar. You were created to reach new heights, to take new ground. The question is how we handle these scary times. Because it's easy to get discouraged. God, why did you let this happen to me? Why did I lose that loved one? You turned off the chandeliers. Why did my business go down? Why did my friend betray me? Sometimes when God stirs the nest, it doesn't make sense. But here's the attitude that we need to have. Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I know you're still on the throne. I'm not going to live my life bitter and upset and complaining because my plans didn't work out. I know your plans for me are for good, Lord. Amen? Amen. You know, I love Joel Osteen's story. Someone told me recently they don't like Joel Osteen. Someone in our church said, well, I don't like Joel Osteen. I said, well, you're probably not going to like me then. Because I love Joel Osteen. Some of the darkest places in my life, Joel Osteen's word brought me out of it. Yeah. How do you not like a man who's leading millions of people to Christ? Are you kidding me? Yeah. Well, his message is too light. You're not listening close enough, honey. I've been doing this for 38 years. And let me tell you, Joel Osteen is an amazing man of God. And I love his story. How God stirred him out the nest. When his father died in 1999, Joel had worked behind the scenes for 17 years producing his dad's TV show. And Joel was very comfortable doing that. He didn't want to do anything else. But let me tell you, God's dream for our life is bigger than our dream. Yeah. Sometimes we think we're out the nest. We think we've discovered our wings. You haven't seen anything yet. You don't know what God is up to in your life, family. Joel knew when his dad died, he knew that he was supposed to step up and be the pastor of the church. But the thing is, he'd never ministered before. He'd never preached one time. And all the what-if thoughts came to him. What if I try and fail? What if people don't like me? What if nobody comes? You know, it's easy to talk yourself out of it. But when we come to the end of our life, will you have more regrets over the risks you took or over the risks that you didn't take? I don't know about you, but I would rather try and fail than play it safe all the time and never really know. Joel says he was so comfortable behind the scenes. He didn't want to have to stretch. He didn't want to get out in front of people. God had to literally push him out of the nest. He said there were times when he started preaching that he was so afraid he would have to hold on to the platform, to the pulpit, because thoughts were telling him that he couldn't do it. But it was in the scary place that he discovered talent within him that he didn't realize that he had. His dad had been asking him for years to help him pastor the church. He didn't know that he had it in him. It was in him the whole time. But if God hadn't pushed him out the nest, he would have never discovered his wings. Look at Lakewood Church now. When Joel took it over, they were in an 8,000-seater building. Now they're in the compact center, seat 16,000, running 3 servers. I mean, it is an amazing story. Let me tell you, you're going to come into these times where God shakes things up, where you're over your head, where you think, what in the world is happening? What's going on? God is getting ready to take you to a new level in your life. That's what's going on. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 19, you've seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I carried you on eagle's wings. Let me tell you, eagles fly higher than any other bird. And I want you to know God didn't give you a set of chicken wings so you can be picking around on the ground in mediocrity. God didn't give you crow's wings. He didn't give you a pair of turkey wings. You got eagle's wings. You're about to soar to new heights in your life. You're about to see new opportunities, new relationships, new levels of influence, new levels of favor. You know, when I look back over my life, the times that I've grown the most and discovered new gifts and became more confident was not in the easy times. It was when I had to stretch. It was when I was uncomfortable. It was when I felt like I was over my head, when I was scared. And at the time, I didn't like it very much. But can I tell you now, it was good that God pushed me out. It was good that I had to stretch. When Pastor Theo asked me to teach Bible school when I was 19 years old, I'm glad that he did it now. When God called me to start a church when I was 27 years old, told me to go to Cape Town and start a church, I mean, we were nervous. We were a little bit scared. We left everything we knew, and we went to a brand new city where we knew nobody. I had a great job working for Pastor Theo. I had a great salary. I was comfortable, but I knew God was calling me to start a church in Cape Town. I was scared, but we stepped out and did it. When God called us to come to the United States, we had 2,000 people in our church in Cape Town. We had 20 pastors. We had 120 small groups. We were comfortable, man. I didn't have to get there at 8 o'clock and check out the worship team. I had people doing that for me. Some pastors tried to discourage me from pastoring two churches because we carried on pastoring the church in Cape Town for 10 years. And we started this church, and I traveled between the two for 10 years. I did 60 trips to South Africa in 10 years. And pastors told me, you're going to lose both churches. They tried to discourage me, but I knew God was calling me to move to the United States, even though it was scary. We stepped out in faith. Amen? Let me tell you, you wouldn't be who you are without the scary places. That's where you developed your wings. That's where you discovered what's inside you. The eaglet, I'm sure that little eaglet would say to its mother right now, thank you for making me uncomfortable. Thank you for pushing me out the nest. I know at the time, Mama, I was cussing you out, but thank you so much. I was upset. I was complaining. But now I see what you were doing. You were helping me discover my wings. Let me tell you, there are a lot of things in life that we don't understand. Sometimes it feels unfair to get pushed out of the nest. Maybe the company, you were so loyal to that company, now they're downsizing. They tell you they don't need you anymore. Maybe you got a diagnosis wasn't good. Maybe a friend walked away. It's a scary place. Let me tell you, God didn't send the trouble, but God does allow things to happen. We may not understand it, but I have never come out of a scary place where I wasn't better. When it was all said and done, when I look back, I could see in my life how it made me stronger, how it made me more confident, how it made me wiser. It gave me a greater trust in God. It pushed me closer toward my destiny. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, when we lost our building on Center Street almost 3 years ago in a foreclosure action, it was one of the darkest hours of my life. But actually, it has launched us into a brand new beginning. Let me tell you, when it happened, I prayed, I trusted God. But let me tell you, God brought us into a better building. And we're doing things better now than we've ever done them before. When you keep the right attitude, let me tell you, all things will work for your good. Then when you face dreams that look too big, obstacles that seem insurmountable, scary places, you can look back and you can see how God brought you through in the past. How God made a way in the past when you didn't see a way. Amen. God gave you peace that passed understanding. God gave you strength to do what you couldn't do on your own. Those victories become fuel for your faith. You'll know God did it back then, and He'll do it again right now. Every victory in your life is not just for the present. You're going to need it in the future. But if you shrink back and you let things intimidate you and you play it safe all the time, you're not going to have what you need for where God is taking you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says we are being transfigured into His very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. We're going from glory to glory. God takes us from victory to victory. That last victory, you're going to need for your next victory. That's why I'm always talking about how God brought that, how God gave us this building. That's why I'm always, Pastor Steve, why are you always telling the story about how we lost the building? Because it's giving me fuel for my faith. Because if God did it then, he'll do it again. That's why I'm always talking about, what the, come on, give God praise. Can you put your hands together and can you give God some praise in here today? Can you encourage me today to preach? Let me tell you, that was one of my scary places. When the odds were against me, I was afraid, intimidated, nervous, but I did it afraid. God showed up and did something that more than I can imagine. That's the reason I talk about it, because I need fuel for my faith, family. I need to remember what God has done so I won't shrink back when new opportunities come my way. It's easy to play it safe all the time. It's easy to stay in the nest. We think it's dangerous to step out, but the truth is, it's more dangerous to stay in the nest. Do you know if that baby egglet stayed in the nest and never discovered its wings and the mother never pushed it out the nest, even though it was comfortable, do you know that egglet would die in the nest? My challenge to you is don't die in your nest. Don't become so comfortable that you won't take a risk. You've got to go after what God has put in your heart. You've got to step out of the boat like Peter and step on the water. Well, Steve, I'm afraid. You're supposed to be afraid. If you weren't afraid, it wouldn't be your destiny. Because let me tell you, what God has for you is too big for you to accomplish by yourself. There is potential in you that is waiting to be released. Sometimes God pushes us out, like when we lost our building. God closed that door. Other times, we have to make the decision ourselves. You know, God told the prophet Elijah to anoint a young man named Elisha as his successor. Elijah saw Elisha plowing in a field. And he went over and he took off his mantle and he threw it on Elijah. Excuse me. He threw it on Elisha. And he asked Elisha to come with him. Elisha already had a good job. I mean, Elisha was in the family business. He had a bright future there. No doubt one day his parents one day would hand it over to him. But when Elijah threw that mantle on Elisha, something came alive in his spirit. He knew God was calling him. He knew this was an open, God was opening a door. To walk away from the familiar into the unknown. But the problem is it was scary. Staying on the farm was safe. His income was set. His retirement, he had a nice place to live. Thoughts were telling him, stay where you are, you're comfortable. Family members try to reason with him. You don't know this prophet Elijah. He may not keep his word. You could get out there and fail and it wouldn't work out. But deep down, something told him, this is your moment. This is your destiny. Step out in faith. Do you know some opportunities do not come a second time? They are destiny moments. It's either now or never. I would rather try and fail than go to my grave wondering what would have happened if I hadn't let fear hold me back. What could I have become if I wasn't intimidated by the scary place? Let me tell you, what God has in your future will scare you. But if you'll take a step of faith, you'll see God will scare you into greatness. God will scare you into soaring. God will scare you into levels that you never dreamed. Are you with me? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 21. So Elisha returned to his oxen, and he slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah. Then he went with Elijah. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Elisha was saying, I'm done going around in circles. I'm done settling for mediocrity. I'm not gonna plow this field the rest of my life. I have greatness on the inside of me. Yeah. Let me tell you, life is too short to settle for things that are less than what you know you have within you. Don't stay on a job where you're not challenged the rest of your life. Don't stay in a field that you don't enjoy. You don't have any passion. You weren't made to go around and round and round for the next 40 years in your life doing something unfulfilling. Look for new opportunities. Stretch. Grow. Take courses, learn, do your part, and you know what? God will send the Elijah by. God will bring you an opportunity that not only scares you, but it excites you. You know, this is my purpose. Yes. Elisha was afraid, uncertain what the future held, but he did it anyway. He dared to leave the familiar, believing God had something better. And if you are going to reach your destiny, family, there'll be times you've got to do like Elisha. You've got to walk away from what's comfortable and to the unknown. Sometimes it's just in our mind. You've got to stop telling yourself that you can't do that. You can't teach that class. You're just an assistant. You can't run the department. You don't have the skills. You'll never start your business. You'll never write the book. You'll never lead the company in sales. You don't have that kind of talent. No, don't believe those lies. You got greatness on the inside of you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are destined to leave your mark, family. The enemy would love to convince you to stay in the nest, be intimidated, be afraid, so that your potential is never released. You've got to get out of the safe zone, and you've got to get over into the faith zone. I said you've got to get out of the safe zone, and you've got to come into the faith zone. Amen. You cannot play it safe your whole life if you want to become everything God created you to be. When you know God put something in your heart, you're excited about it. You can't get away from it. You wake up in the morning thinking about it. Let me tell you, this church is on my mind too much. 24 hours a day. I said to my wife, man, it's like every moment of my day I'm consumed thinking about it because I can't get away from it. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, Steve, what if I try and it doesn't work out? Well, what if you try and it does work out? The better question is, what if you don't try and you miss your destiny? What if you get to heaven one day and God says, I created you to do amazing things? Why did you stay in the nest? Why did you let people talk you out of it? Why did you let your thoughts convince you that you can't do it? Why did you let fear hold you back? Let me tell you, nothing will be sadder than to come to the end of your life and wonder what you could have become if you'd just taken some risks, if you just stepped out of the nest. Let me tell you, part of faith is stepping into the unknown. But the good news is God is in the scary places. That's where he'll show out in your life. That's where you'll discover your wings. That's where he'll take you further than what you ever dreamed possible. The reason some people aren't happy today is because they're bored. They've got so much more in them, but they're stuck doing something mediocre. God is stirring you. Even as I'm speaking to you right now, God is stirring you to stretch, to grow, to look for new opportunities. Well, Steve, I'm comfortable. God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to take new ground. He called us to advance his kingdom. Maybe you're scared to invite someone to church. I'd like to bring someone to Easter, Pastor Steve, but I'm scared. Do it anyway. Doesn't matter if you're scared. Do it anyway. What are they going to do? Throw you in jail? Beat you up? What are they going to do? Now, if you were living in Iran, and you said, I'm a little bit scared about witnessing, I could understand that. But living in America, you've got nothing to be scared of in America. You need to get something in front of you that challenges you, makes you get up early and pray, makes you more disciplined, more focused. You don't have time to waste, or it won't work out. We grow in these scary places, family. Elisha left the field, so he followed Elijah. Not long after that, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. And do you know that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did? What if Elisha would have played it safe? What if he'd stayed where it was familiar? We wouldn't be talking about him today. He wouldn't have become one of the heroes of faith. He was afraid, but that scary place led him to greatness. The same can be said of Abraham. Same can be said of Moses. And God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. Moses said, Lord, who am I? Who am I going to say sent me? Lord, I can't do it. I don't speak well. I'm not eloquent. Lord, please send somebody else. Gideon. God spoke to Gideon. I'm the least of my family. My family is the least of the tribes of Israel. Lord, you must have the wrong person. Let me tell you, are you letting fear hold you back? It's time to do it afraid. Don't die in your nest. Maybe you've passed up some opportunities. You think you've missed your chance. No, get ready. God's about to scare you again. God's about to bring something great across your path. It looks so big. It looks so amazing. In your spirit, you're excited. You know it's for you, but your mind tells you, oh, no way. You don't have the talent for that. You don't have the resources for that. Stay in your nest. You can't do that. Let me tell you, this is your time. Say, this is my time. This is your moment. Your destiny is calling. Come over into the scary places. That's where you saw. That's where you'll see God's favor in your life, family. Amen. That's where doors open that you could never open. That's where gifts come out of you you didn't know that you had. Greatness is waiting for you in the scary place. Come out of the nest. Tell your neighbor, time to get out of the nest. Tell your neighbor, get out in the nest. Start using your wings. Not chicken wings and not turkey wings, those eagle wings. You created a soar. Maybe you're where I was 3 years ago when we lost our building. Maybe you've gone through a loss, a disappointment, something you don't understand. It's taking the wind out your sails. You lost your passion. You're breathing, but you're not really living. There's nothing exciting to get up for in the morning. God's going to do for you what he did for me. God's going to take you out of that dark place and use it to launch you to a new level of your destiny. What you lost is not the end, it's a new beginning. Let me tell you, God doesn't waste anything. Yeah. It's getting you prepared for where he's taking you. He's got beauty for those ashes. You haven't seen your best days yet. God's about to scare you again. He's about to bring you new opportunities, new relationships. Things so amazing, it seems too good to be true. Don't shrink back, family. Step into the new. God wants you to dream again. Amen. God wants you to love again. God wants you to laugh again. God wants you to believe again. It's the scary place. After all, let me tell you, after all I've seen God do in my life, take me further than what I dream. I have learned if it doesn't scare me, if it's not big enough, if I can do it on my own, if I don't need faith, man, you may feel fear, but don't let comfort keep you from your calling. Do it afraid anyway. If you'll be willing to leave the unfamiliar and step into the unknown, if you'll be willing to leave the familiar and step into the unknown, I believe, family, you are about to soar. I declare in the name of Jesus, God is about to bring greatness out of you. You are about to discover your wings. Soar, you're going to soar to heights you never imagined. You're going to overcome obstacles that seemed insurmountable. I believe in the name of Jesus, you are going to reach the fullness of your destiny. You are going to become everything God created you to be in Jesus' name. If you believe it, shout a big amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise today. Will you do that? Give God praise today. I want to ask you to bow your head, if you would, real quick. Just bow your head with me. Thank you, David. While heads are bowed and while eyes are closed, I want to pray. Right now, I want to pray a special, a life-changing prayer. I want to pray for anyone here this morning. You are not sure where you stand with God today. You're not sure if all is well between you and the Lord. I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you absolutely certain if you died today that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be certain of that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that your sins are all forgiven. Every mistake you've made is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up, but right where you're sitting, while we have our heads bowed, while we have our eyes closed, this is between you and God. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me today, include me in that prayer you're going to pray. I want to make sure that all is right and well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want to ask you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. Just shoot it up. I'm looking for hands. Put your hand up high. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Lift up. Here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me. Include me. Thank you. Anybody else? Just lift it up right now. Thank you. Yes. Never be easier than it is right now. Lift up your hand. Say, pray for me. I want everyone who lifted your hands up, please say this prayer. In fact, I want everyone in the room, can we all say this prayer with them, please? Everybody. Say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent Jesus, your Son, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross for me to take my sin and my punishment. Lord, you said, if I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you're alive. You're the Savior. And I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. I surrender my life to you. I receive your life. I confess. Say, I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do what your Bible says. Say, I thank you because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. Heaven is now my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Come on, give the Lord, give him a big hand. Give thanks for them today. Now listen, if you raised your hand in a few minutes from now, we've gone all over time today. We're supposed to close at 11:30. We're over time today. But in a few minutes, we'll be closing. I want to ask you, if you lifted your hand, please remain seated where you are. We have a gift we want to give you. And we have our volunteers from our church that saw you raise your hand. They're going to come to you, going to give you a gift before you go. But I'm so glad, I congratulate you. The best decision you ever made in your life is to follow Jesus. Amen? Can you say amen? Did you get something out of this today? Come on, give God praise.
Was preaching to me. You hear Pastor Steve talk about the soaring, and he builds your faith because he tells you stories, but you don't see the scary. This is scary stuff, stepping out in faith. Let me tell you, when you gotta stretch. Amen. Right now is the time in the service where we get to we receive our church offering. We get to the opportunity to give. Amen. And I just want to say, if you are a visitor, please don't feel any pressure. You're welcome to give. We appreciate if you give, but there's no obligation whatsoever. We're just so glad that you came today. And I always like to share a scripture. There are various ways that you can give. There's an envelope sitting right on the seat where you are, or in the seat back in front of you. There's a kiosk in our lobby you can use. There'll be different ways come up on the screen, on our website, text giving. We just like to make it convenient and easy for you. And I'm going to just read an excerpt from the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. You heard about that? You heard the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? Anybody read their Bible here? John, it's in every single gospel. So that's the only miracle that's in all four, I think. So in John 6, it says, as Jesus sat down, he looked out and he saw the massive crowd of people scrambling up the hill, for they wanted to be near him. So he turned to Philip and he said, where will we buy enough food to feed all these people? Now Jesus already knew what he was about to do, but he said this to stretch Peter's faith. Isn't that interesting? In my footnote in my Bible, when I read it, the footnote says, Jesus was testing Philip to see if he would look to Jesus to supply all that was needed and not consider their limited resource. He was testing his faith. Jesus is always stirring our faith, amen, like we heard today. So that's a question we face today when you come to offering time. When we look at our resources and we might say, it's not enough. Will we trust God or will we look at our limited resources, amen? And it says in verse 7, it says, Philip answered and said, well, I suppose if I were to give everyone only a snack, it would cost thousands of dollars to buy enough food. But just then, Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up and he said, look, here's a young person with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far would that go with this huge crowd? The place where the miracle of multiplication takes place is when you take what is in your hand and you put it in God's hand. That little boy could have eaten his lunch and it would never have multiplied. It would have filled him up, but it would have helped nobody else. The way it multiplied is when you take what you have in your hand and you put it in God's hand, then it multiplies. And then it touches many lives. Amen? And you know, God never asks us to give what we don't have. Don't get nervous. He doesn't ask us to give what we don't have. But when we are willing to trust Him, like right now, when we come and we give our tithes, our 10%, when we give offerings as He directs us, when we are willing to do that, we are putting our trust in Him and not in our limited resources. Amen? I'm going to go on and read that. It's, he said, have everybody sit down, Jesus said to His disciples. So on the vast grassy slope, more than 5,000 hungry people sat down. In fact, the other translations say 5,000 men. So they estimate 10, 15,000 people were there. And there's a lesson right here. He says, sit down. All they did was sit down and Jesus took care of them. That's an act of faith right there. You know, we do what we can. We give Him what we can. And then we sit down in faith and we say, thank you, Lord. You are my provider. Amen. It says, just then Jesus took the barley loaves and the fish and He gave thanks to God. Then He gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. Miraculously, the food multiplied with everyone eating as much as they wanted. And when everyone was satisfied, Jesus told His disciples, now go back and gather up all the pieces that are left over so that nothing will be wasted. The disciples filled up 12 baskets of fragments, a basket of leftovers for each disciple. Isn't that interesting? It says that. Now, do you need a miracle from God? Do you need to see some multiplication? I could do with some multiplication in my life. Amen. And the key is always honoring God by bringing the tithe, always giving offerings as He directs you. This boy had a choice. He could eat his food or he could give it to Jesus and trust Him to multiply it and use it to meet the needs of many. Amen. So that's what we do right now. We thank You for Your faithful giving. You know, we've always said that, but it's said in the Passion Translation, it says each one of the disciples got a basket. And they carried it to the little boy's house for him. It was his harvest on what he gave. Amen. Betty's mom was surprised. Praise God. Well, let's just pray. Father, I thank You for each and every person sitting here. I pray You stir faith in our hearts, Father God. Faith in our hearts that You can multiply what it is that we trust You with. So as we tithe and as we give, Father, we remember Your word. We put our faith in Your word. We thank You that the windows of heaven are open above us, pouring us out blessing that we do not even have room enough to receive. Thank You that as we give, we have all sufficiency in all things, and we have a financial abundance that we can give into every good work. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Ushers, you can go ahead and do that.
Happening. We've got feedback up here.
Lots of it.
Praise the Lord. Well, you're glad you came to church today, anybody?
Yeah.
You are? Well, don't forget, Growth Track is taking place right after service. And even if it's your first time here today, you're welcome to join them. They'll be serving lunch. The class starts at 12 and it'll finish by 1. 12 to 1 runs for four weeks. Amen. Come on, stand up with us. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Oh, hold. Sit down again. Sit down again. Sorry. Ushers, did you pass the baskets yet? Okay, sit down again. I'm sorry. My fault. I thought they were done. I thought you passed them down. Did you pass them? Are they done? So who told me they weren't done? They didn't come down here? Oh, okay, now we can stand up again. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Tonight, revival night, 6 p.m. We hope to see you.
On us.
future begin. You'll never stop loving us, no matter how far we run. You'll never give up on us. All of heaven shouts, let the